Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Reclaim your power and learn to live your most amazing life with Mike Murphy on The Creation Frequency. Mike explores authentic and relevant truth and powerful conversations with some of the world's most renowned game changers. This hit show taps the dynamic principles of the creation frequency to unleash unlimited infinite potential and guide you to manifesting the highest possibilities of your heart. Level up your life and rewire your programming. Think new thoughts and create true freedom. Let's expand energy, build true health and explosive frequency consciousness together. Powerful people, powerful conversations, powerful listeners. Infinite possibilities, fostering peace and joy with an unfiltered heart. Now, here's Mike Murphy.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Creation Frequency Radio. I'm your host, Mike Murphy. We come to you live every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. I'm down here in Palm Springs this evening. We have David up in Seattle, part of the Transformation Talk Radio team, producing the show tonight. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some news events that are going on in the world right now for about the first 15 minutes or so. Then we have two wonderful guests. We have Kiki up in the San Francisco Bay Area in the city of Oakland. And we have Shirley back in Kentucky, in London, Kentucky. And we're going to switch gears about 15 minutes or so and get into the creation frequency, how we can use the law of attraction to manifest what we truly desire into our physical reality. So I'm excited about that. That's an easy topic for me. The news is a little more complicated. So if you like what we're doing, please subscribe. We come to you every Monday, Mike Murphy Unfiltered on YouTube, or you can, we always archive the shows there. We also archive them at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. So if you like it, share it. Hopefully we're serving some sort of purpose here every Monday. We try to, you know, get into unbiased news and bring factual news. And, you know, all we hear about is fake news nowadays. Now it's really tough to figure out what the real news is, I will say. And then secondly, we really get into law of attraction, manifestation, how we can really live from our heart where our power resides and use our thoughts and our mind to create intentions that will bring into our physical reality what truly serves us and makes us the best version of ourselves. So thanks for joining us tonight. So, well, I guess the biggest subject right now, and for people like me, is this election. I know for a lot of you, the election's long over with, and Biden won after 4 or 5 days of watching every night on TV as they broke down every county in 6 or 7 states and drove us crazy with all that. But I have to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that this what we'll call fraud, voting fraud, is not truly being investigated. And I'm going to show you a couple clips, and then I'm going to go a little deeper into them. So, David, if you would, the first one, you know, a lot of people call it a gaffe. Some people call it a subliminal misspeak. But it's Biden talking about something. So, David, if you'd play that first clip, I'd appreciate it.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Thank you, David. So there's Biden right there. I mean, you know, he does have a lot of slip senior moments, if you will, but really coming out and saying, hey, we have put together the greatest team of voter fraud, and it was just as good as what we had in the Obama administration. And I do think there's a little truth to this. I really don't follow the politics that much. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Trump fan. I'm definitely not a Biden supporter, definitely not a Biden fan. But I am a fan of justice. And I think it was Martin Luther King said that injustice anywhere is an insult to justice everywhere. And if America, the greatest country in the world, and used to be the freest country in the world, I'm not even sure we can say that anymore. But if the United States of America cannot have an honest election, then we got big problems. In fact, the whole world has big problems. And that ties into everything else that's going on into our world right now. So I really think what's important right now is that if we don't pay attention, if we don't hold these politicians accountable, and the media, which is a big problem. I mean, censorship is out of control. We used to have freedom of speech. We don't have it anymore. That I really do think we are in danger of losing our freedoms and going in a really, like, they're talking a lot about a dark winter, you know, and that might be right around the corner. So this next clip I want to play, I'm gonna describe it and then play it. But when I saw it, I really couldn't believe it. But it's a one-minute clip from CNN, and they start out showing the election results, and this is like the first night, okay, of all this stuff. And they start with Pennsylvania, and you'll see a Trump number, how many votes he has, and a Biden number. And it's early in the evening. I think Trump has like a 700,000 vote lead or something, right? And then they'll go. Then they go to three other states. They'll go to I don't have my notes right. Here we go. So they'll show you those numbers in Pennsylvania. This is a one-minute clip on CNN. Then they'll go to Wisconsin, show you the numbers. Then they'll show you Arizona. Then they'll show you Michigan. And then they come back to Pennsylvania. And you will see, you're not getting, it's too fast. But what happens is from the first clip where they show you the Pennsylvania totals to the last one, all of a sudden, Trump's vote tally goes down 19,958 votes, reduces in less than a minute, and Biden goes up the exact same amount. So I'm going to show you the clip, and then I'll explain to you what happened. Go ahead, David, if you will.
At the moment, we don't know that, though. At the moment, these are to be decided, and that would push, you know, and again, if you come at this from a Republican perspective, I did Joe Biden's math to get him up. Donald Trump's leading here. He's leading here. He's leading here. We expect him to win here. That's his. This one's interesting. We expect him to get this, and these normally would be Trump states out here. And Alaska. So, again, we're open to being surprised, but if it plays out in a traditional map, that's where we're going to be. That's where we'll be as we go to the West Coast, somewhere in that ballpark. It's not an exact science, but somewhere in that ballpark looking at.
So the only reason I show you this, I mean, something went on that night. I mean, something is going on. You have people like Sidney Powell, and if you're not familiar with who she is, she was a federal prosecutor for 10 years, and in 2014 she wrote a book about all the corruption in Washington, D.C. and in the Department of Justice. She just came out with another book. She was the lawyer for Michael Flynn that got that whole case. It's still pending because you got a really weird judge, but basically the Department of Justice said, hey, there's nothing here, and we ruined this guy's life for no reason. Well, she was very instrumental in turning that case around. She's a stand-up person, and I just think that she deserves to be heard. Now, they're going to be heard. They're filing this lawsuit. It's probably going to go to the United States Supreme Court. But believe me, they've been playing with elections for a long time, the CIA especially in other countries. Okay, they have the technology to switch these votes. So everything that they're saying is truthful and accurate. Can they prove it in this limited amount of time that they have? I don't know. But I do think the important thing is, I mean, honestly, you know, I think for the next 90 days, we're better off with a Biden presidency because we're not going to have Antifa and BLM riots unless they create something else to make that happen again. But I think the country will be a little calmer. But the lockdowns are going to become more severe. And we'll get into COVID in a second here. But my whole point to this whole thing, there has to be transparency. You know, the media, you know, dragged this out, told us that Biden had won, okay, when they're still vote counting votes, okay, they're still doing legal stuff. They still have a long ways to go. Now, today, President Trump came out and said to this poor girl who runs the GSA, which is the agency and responsible for the transition, said, hey, you know, this poor girl is getting beat up. She's getting death threats. I mean, so we're going to start the transition, but I'm still fighting this in court. My only point is, you know, that it be an honest election, that the votes be counted fairly. I mean, I'm just talking about the computer software thing. I mean, you have dead people voting all over the place. You have Republican inspectors not being able to inspect the ballots and matching the signature to all that. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, the other day in that news conference, I think they said they had 251 signed affidavits under penalty of perjury of people testifying to voter fraud. Well, should that be heard, or should we just, you know? And I will say this, I mean, this was my take on it going into this, just watching the rallies. You know, Trump would get 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people to a rally. Heck, in Arizona, they had 91 miles of Trump supporters lined up on the side of the road, bumper to bumper, okay? And where Biden couldn't get 20 people, even when Obama came in to speak for Biden, you know, and Obama was the most popular president maybe in our history up until recently, and he couldn't fill an auditorium up. So something just doesn't feel right for me. And but I think the most important thing is, you know, what I really believe is that, you know, they're going to transition to Biden, and then a year from now they're going to come out with all this stuff that there was all this voter fraud, but it's too late by then. And then what happens in 2024 or 2022, or what happens in these Georgia runoffs with these senators? So my whole point is, you know, in America, we look like a third world nation. We look like a banana republic. We look like a country that just, I mean, my God, you know, American Idol could process hundreds of millions of votes to through the singer, you know, who won the singing contest, and we can't have an honest election. It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. We have a fingerprint, okay? It goes on a piece of paper. We sign it. There's our ballot, okay? And we got to get rid of this game plan. All right, I'm going to move on to that story. So anyways, and if anybody can explain that 19,858 votes that mysteriously went down and then up, I'd love to hear it. All right, let's talk COVID for a second, and then we'll get into the creation frequency, which is a much more positive and fun topic, I might add. So COVID. Well, here's what drives me crazy about COVID. Is, you know, all you hear about is 250,000 dead Americans. But when you drill that down, okay, from the CDC, from their own website and their own numbers, okay, only 6% COVID only. The other 94% had comorbidities, were going to die of something else, primarily old age, which happens, okay? So now all of a sudden, we don't have flu in this country anymore, and people aren't dying from flu of pneumonia because a hospital gets a bunch of money if they put COVID on the thing. So when you say 250,000 people, Americans have died of COVID, that's very disingenuous, okay? Did they have COVID? And then the testing is flawed, believe me. They just came out with a big study on how the testing is flawed. Elon Musk, I'm not a big fan of his either, but he just sent in 4 tests. 2 came back positive, 2 came back negative. I mean, how does that happen? And the testing is flawed. I think it was a country, Denmark just came out with a big study that the masks serve absolutely no purpose. To me, this whole COVID thing, this whole mask thing, this whole flawed testing thing is really about a lot more than people getting sick with cold-like symptoms or flu-like symptoms, okay? Now, I understand that allegedly people with diabetes or obesity or other issues, and they get subjected to this virus, that, you know, it's a rough experience. I get it. I've known many people that have been tested positive. Many had no symptoms whatsoever, but they had to get tested for work or to go to a hospital or whatever. And then the ones that said they had symptoms is primarily loss of smell and loss of taste. But I think it's very disingenuous to say 250,000 Americans have died from this when CDC will tell you a completely different story. So to me, it's all a control mechanism. And what I really think is going on here, ladies and gentlemen, and which nobody talks about anymore, is the debt. And the financial mess that these people have created, you know, and no one talks about it anymore, but we have our stated debt today is $27 trillion, okay? A University of Michigan professor just did an audit of federal government. He says there's another $30 trillion missing. They admit the Social Security is underfunded. Medicare is underfunded. You know, Kiki's up in Oakland. I have a business in Oakland. I've never seen unemployment like it is today, okay? The quality of our food in this country, the quality of our medicine. You know, I also live in Colombia, South America. Colombia ranks 20th in the world in healthcare. United States ranks 37th, but we spend we spend 50 times more money than they spend. So there's a real problem in this country, and it's because of our leaders, our politicians. I believe that at least 90% are badly corrupt, blackmailed, corrupted to do the bidding of big corporations, i.e. Amazon and all these big corporations that are making a ton of money during this pandemic, which I think is a pandemic to cover up all these financial crimes. And now they're talking about this deep, dark winter. They're talking about this great reset. In Canada, they're talking about eliminating all the debt. Of course, they take your assets as well, and then they give you a monthly income. And if you don't get the vaccination, and here's where all this is leading, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the only reason I'm passionate about this is we're all going to have a decision to make, I believe, in the next 6 months. Vaccinate or never leave your home. And if you've done any history or research on vaccinations and the side effects, especially what they do to children in this country with these vaccinations and autism's off the charts, and you look at these studies and the side effects that these people have had, and then you have the Microsoft ID 2020 and what they want to do, put little bots in your bloodstream, which will then they can reward you with cryptocurrency. To me, everything is going crazy. And if we don't wake up to what this government is doing, it's not just the United States, by the way, okay, it's every government almost in the world. What's going on is they're taking more and more of our freedoms. They're going to take taxes more and more and more. And, for me, I'm 63 years old. My life is set. I'm over. But I have 4 kids. I have 7 grandkids. And that's my concern. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, a righteous man lives for the next generation. I think it was Edison said that evil exists because good men do nothing. All I'm saying is we got to pay attention. We have a very dishonest media. We have a very dishonest social media. I mean, the censorship is unbelievable. The lack of freedom. I'm in California. We're not allowed to go out after 10 p.m. Okay. What, all of a sudden the virus comes out at 10 p.m.? I mean, things just don't add up to me. So that's my take on everything. I'm not going to get all this. I hate this part of the show now because I really love getting into the creation frequency. So, with no further ado, I want to welcome our guest, Kiki, up there in Oakland. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. And Shirley in London, Kentucky, welcome to the show. And so, with full disclosure, I know Kiki pretty well. I've spoke at her church. She was a great help in facilitating that for me. And she just, every time I see her, my heart gets warmer and I get a smile on my face because she has that type of energy. And she walks her talk. So we're glad you're here. So we're going to start with Shirley tonight since I know Kiki already. And so Shirley, just how did you end up here? And what do you know about the creation frequency or the law of attraction?
I don't know how I ended up here. Fate. It must have been fate.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, because I've been very curious about law of attraction for years, and I've watched it happen sometimes without even understanding that was what was happening. So I went through breast cancer several years ago, and it was life-changing. It was... I realized afterwards how much resistance I had to life, and it put me on a new course. So with that, after going through all the breast cancer, I was given a revelation of what life was all about and what we were here for. And with that, I started practicing all of it, life imaging.
So I'm somewhat familiar with breast cancer and people go through cancer, and most people that I meet that had this experience say cancer woke me up, cancer changed my life, and I kind of hearing that from you. But you said you had like an epiphany, what life is, why you're here, and what's that about? So can you go a little deeper into that? I'm just curious.
Yes. Yes. Of course, it took years for it to all come forth, as I was ready, obviously. But I realized that who I am, that I'm here because of a creator, and I'm here to create, and I will, whether I know it or not. I will create. I have created myself thus far, mm-hmm. and I will continue to, although now I'm more mindful of which way I want to go.
There you go.
I wasn't going the way I should be going until this, and I call it light revelation, and I wrote a book about it. The light part was given to me by God, and it's love initiated by God for healing and transformation, because that's what happened to me. And what you were asking, you know, after I realized who I am, then I needed to know, what do I need to do? And I needed to become aware of love, because that's the magnificent force that we all are and that we're here to be. And we wouldn't be in this mess you've been talking about if we all had that love.
Right, exactly.
So I had to decide to love myself and forgive myself.
Let me ask, because you sound very enlightened yourself, like this experience really made you go deep inside, figure out who you are, what's going on, and really woke you up, right? So, and I'm going to assume you did traditional cancer therapy, like chemo, surgery, radiation, that kind of stuff.
I did both.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. So you know, and so I really teach this stuff, right? And it's worked marvelously in my life since 1982. And it's really about getting clear. It's about living consciously and realizing that there is a creator and that I am co-creating my life with the creator. Now, if I want to be conscious and aware of the creator, I'm going to be a lot better off than self, you know, people say self will run riot, okay, or trying to live my life by myself when I have this great tool right here. So, but do you think that your thoughts, your emotions, is there anything in your life that brought this cancer into your life, manifested this cancer in your life? Have you gone down that or thought about that at all?
Yes, I think I did manifest it. Yes.
Can you tell me how you think?
Yes. I was interested in quantum physics years ago and wanted to just grow spiritually. I just wanted to understand. So I would have this, I would just quote things and then I would pray. I would like to go as high spiritually as I can go in this lifetime. And it wasn't long after that I got cancer.
That's a pretty powerful intent. I mean, yeah, because you got to have, you got to be pretty strong to request that, because that is total surrender,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that took some courage, and then the cancer showed up, and now you're transformed as a person, right?
Yes. Yes.
And what I love about your story, see, because, you know, and I'm going to assume you're going to agree with this, but I'll ask you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, this physical life that we have is a blink of an eye, okay? But our soul, our essence, it's eternal. We are eternal, timeless consciousness. We can never die. And so the physical thing, I mean, to be honest with you, there's a lot of times I'm excited that the one day I'm going to get out of this body and be free and be who I can be. So tell me a little bit how that impacted you, that belief, that boom, I have this, I want to be as spiritual as high as I can get, and then cancer shows up, then what was your next thought or reaction to that?
I didn't fully understand what I had asked for years after the cancer, but I was thrown into another dimension. I was totally caught off guard. And I fought, I resisted, I struggled, I battled it all, not seeing the bigger picture, obviously. But one day, I lost weight, I wouldn't eat, I was in total resistance to it all. And in my misery, one day, as I was having a pity party, I walked by the mirror and my head just turned. I wouldn't even look in the mirror, I looked so bad, but my head just turned to the mirror and the spirit spoke to me and said, quit worrying about your body. You're more than that. You're spirit. Mm-hmm. Just that profound. And I'm like, wow, you know, I thought I knew that. I thought that I had gotten that before the cancer, but I hadn't gotten that.
Yeah.
until that moment. And then so many other revelations came through that. And as I finally came out of it and started to recover, I allowed myself to be guided. I listened and I honored what I was hearing.
Yeah.
And so with that, much more truth came to me, for me, about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy life now.
I was going to ask you, is life easier now with that belief system?
Yeah. The fear factor is diminished so much that I understand the truth about what's happening now and next with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so let's go. How long have you been in remission now, cancer-free?
17 years.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Well, it happened about 17 years ago.
Okay, so you went through the process, and that's been a while. So in your life today, is there something that you wish to manifest? Is there a part of your life or some area of your life that, you know, you'd like to manifest something better?
My biggest desire is planetary. I would love to see more people understand what I have understood, that, you know, we could bring, and we do bring, are bringing, many of us are bringing heaven to earth now.
Mm-hmm.
And we could live in so much peace and love and joy if we could just understand that.
So what I hear you saying is you want to take your life's experience and the person that it's brought you to this moment, the person that you've become, and then be able to share your experience, strength, and hope with others to make the world a better place. Am I hearing you correctly? Okay, so I want you to think about, because what I teach in the creation frequency is we would write an intention around that. And there's no difference between imagination and reality, because what we can imagine over and over and over must come into our physical reality if we stay true to it, right? So I'm going to switch over to Kiki, but while I'm gone, I want you to start thinking about what that intention, and typically it's 3-4 sentences, maybe a paragraph, you know, and start writing it in your mind, or if you have a pen and paper there, start writing what that would look like at the ultimate, at the utmost, what and how that would feel for you, you know, that now your life is doing that, what you explained to me, what you'd like to do is bring light and love to other people's lives, and what you would get out of that, how it would feel, what it would look like, and what your daily experience would be. And then start thinking about that, and then we'll come back to you, and we'll see if we can write a little intention, and then we'll go to the next step after that. Fair enough?
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, Kiki, my dear, how are you?
I am so wonderfully well, and thank you, Shirley. It was great hearing your story, and specifically hearing you talk about love.
Mm. Yeah. Well, okay, so elaborate on that subject.
Well, I think love is so important, particularly self-love. And, you know, I'm also a big advocate of a world that works for everyone, and that there is enough in the world.
Yeah.
And that I can celebrate someone else's love. So that's why it's and their abundance and their profit. And it doesn't mean that I get any less of the pie. Is what I meant by that. And I really find that now I'm going to feel like a Tuck and Patty song. I don't know whether, do you know Tuck and Patty, the musicians?
No,
okay. They're jazz musicians, and they have this song, and the song is called Love is the Key. Take it from me, show your love are some of the words in it. And, you know, when I heard Shirley talking about that love and that we wouldn't be where we are today if we had love, and that's how I live my life.
So let me ask you this, because I know you're in Oakland. I know that, you know, you and I, Oakland can be a tough place for a lot of people, you know, and I think of, you know, young kids growing up, African-American kids, more times than not, there's only one parent, And sometimes that parent is the grandmother because the daughter's not capable for whatever reason. And the father's somewhere, okay, usually in jail, unfortunately, because the laws were skewed against him. And so there's a lot of injustice as I see it there, right? But why does that exist? You know, we want to talk about love and light and all this. We all know there's enough for everybody. What is the freaking problem? And why can't we get more equality, okay, and more justice for everybody, not just the freaking rich? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are that, you believe that there's enough for everyone. I believe that there's enough for everyone, but not everyone holds this, this viewpoint. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of myself, as you and I are the same age, and I have children. I have a 17-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter and a 25-year-old daughter who live in this world and who are sometimes absorbed by the fear and not acknowledging their faith, their hope, and their privilege as well. And, you know, in these times, I think sometimes it's easier to focus on what is wrong and what you're fearful of, other than to hold out faith and love that Shirley was talking about. I grew up in the South. I grew up in segregation. I personally saw things. My parents were very active in the civil rights movement. I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. But I also grew up privileged as a middle-class kid who was somewhat shielded from this. Right. And now we switch to 2020 with my kids, both of whom are also privileged growing up upper middle class, but then they also have the feeling that, you know, with their fear because they're Black or because they have parents who are same gender, they're all these isms. So I think that is the problem. The problem is that we allow the fear to overcome us, that we don't allow the faith and we don't employ, you know, your methodology in the creation frequency. I mean, I heard about the law of attraction some time ago, but I never really thought about using intentions to get what I wanted really until, I mean, it was a theory until I read your book and also took your online program and use the app to actually start writing out my intentions. And I had a lot of intentions, and I focused on the intentions rather on what I didn't want. I focused on what I did want. So I personally think that is a key. I'm not ignoring the stuff that goes on,
right,
but I am, you know, using the law of attraction to get what I do want, and gratitude for being thankful for what I do have, which is tremendous.
Yeah. And there's a quote, and many people say it's a biblical quote, but I can never find it. But there's a quote that says, "We're in this world, but not of this world." And, you know, and I think that is a dilemma. Okay. You know, we're in these animal bodies. Okay. But we're spirit. Okay. So right there is a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you know, we have these good hearts, and that's why I think it's so easy for the masses to be taken advantage of by a few, whether it's religion or politics or whatever. Okay. Throughout history, there's people with an impure heart, evil, you know, is their desire, and can pull the wool over so many people's eyes. And I think it's gotten out of control. And so I really think we need to get our power back and use our power to be aware and conscious of what's going on, and then just share that in love, in a spirit of love, and in a spirit of gratitude, of helping one another. And then maybe we can solve some of these problems. You know, I've been in Oakland for 24 years, and, you know, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of progress over on this end with, you know, all these apartments going up, but terrible problems over here just being ignored. So in what, you know, it's just, it's heartbreaking, right? Okay. So let's talk about, so I have a question for you. Cause you read the book, you wrote your intentions, you recorded them. Anything good happen out of all that?
Lots of good happened out of it because I focused on the different areas that you talked about. And I think that the other thing I think that was really eye-opening for me was this was the concept of co-creation. Wow. You know, that I was in charge and I was co-creating with, I mean, I say God, with my co-creator, and that was very important. At the time that I started with your book was last year, pre-COVID. And I had just in January, I think, in April of 2019, at the age of 62, I had just gotten a job, which I thought was my dream job after having been laid off and not having a job and listening to everybody saying, you know, you're too old to get a job. I got a job. And I thought, oh, this is fantastic. And that was in April of 2019. And then in May of 2019, I got laid off from that job, totally unexpected. And at that exact moment, I told people about it, and others started kind of manifesting and putting their fears on me and their lack and limitation. And I did, to, you know, take off what Shirley was saying about a pity party, I did have a pity party for myself about the loss of this job. I had a 2-minute pity party. I was in New York at the time, working on the job, because the job was based out of New York, and I was traveling. I was in New York, and I had a pity party for 2 minutes, and then decided I could still do what I wanted to do, because at that exact moment, my financial picture had not changed. I had 2 weeks pay, which was great. So I just, you know, was thankful for the job. And literally, so that was May. The next month in June, I started through my church, Heart and Soul Center of Light, what we call summer school. And the read was the creation frequency.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Initially, the first thing was, I mean, first of all, I read your story. And then you came and spoke at our church as well. And I took the course and started writing affirmations, and wonderful things happened. I mean, and I think that the other thing is that I think I used to, in this lack and limitation thing, used to think somehow if you were on the spiritual path, you didn't really care about the worldly things. You didn't care about money and cars and all those things, if something was wrong with you. And that's simply not true. So I looked at all aspects of my life in terms of abundance, and financial abundance was one of those aspects. And I started writing intentions, and I started being very specific about those intentions. I didn't write an intention about a job. I wrote an intention about financial abundance and enough mm-hmm. money to spend, save, and share. And then as I started writing these intentions and reading them and listening them to them through the app, when things were revealed to me, I started writing even more specific intentions. So one of the things that I did was I realized I was old enough at 62 to apply for Social Security. So I applied for Social Security and was granted Social Security and benefits for myself and my 17-year-old son, which was really wonderful. And then I started thinking about other ways in which I could fulfill my financial abundance. And interestingly enough, I just saw this because I pulled out the book because I knew we were doing this show. Last year, one of my intentions was and I wrote it down. My intention is to have an abundance of money flowing from blackhistoryeveryday.com. I have millions of viewers. And then I said, this or something better. Yeah. Now, blackhistory.com is my site that I have, and I know I've talked to you about it. In the years between when I was working at CBS and this job that I got in May, there were 2 years, I tried to make this business financially successful, and was unable to do it at the time. And then I set this intention last year. And then things started flowing. So now I have a business to business contract with the Post News Group as editor in chief. And that's from my business. I'm negotiating now with some people on a BART contract, also to be a consultant as that. I also got a contract with the California Black Media. And so those are just some examples. Mm-hmm. And I didn't limit it to, I put it with intentions for every aspect of my life that I wanted to work on my love life, on my relationship with my children, on my relationship with my friends, and really everything. And I could go on and on, but I will stop talking.
Well, I mean, I didn't stop you because you pretty much laid out everything I teach there in real life example, right?
I learned from the master, Mike.
Well, I learned from the master, and now I'm just the middle person. But let me just, I want to share for the audience, and also Shirley, so because she hasn't read the book or anything, but I'm sure I was happy to send you a copy and also give you access to the online course for free for being on the show. But you said a couple things. One, you know, getting specific. See, what happens is when we have a supercomputer up here called the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is taking in 1 million bits of data every second. Okay, and it's a supercomputer, and then it delivers 40 bits of data to our conscious mind to where we can grasp it, because that's all the conscious mind can handle. But when we're telling that supercomputer what to look for, okay, money, job opportunities, a relationship, then it's looking through those million bits of information and it's giving us stuff to bring our desires, our intentions into our life, right? But if we walk around all day, my life sucks, I never get a good break, I had a bad break in my, that's what it's going to look for, and it's going to keep giving you that. And that's why we keep fulfilling the same stuff until we wake up. Shirley had her experience. She woke up, she got conscious, things started to happen. You know, you've had a pretty darn good life up to this point, but you learned some concepts where you could narrow it down. And then I think by rewriting it, recording and listening, now we become consistent. And I also believe, and Shirley brought up quantum physics earlier, but, you know, Tesla said if you want to understand the universe, you have to understand energy, vibration, and frequency. So I believe that, one, we put ourselves in this self-hypnotic trance using the relaxation script. We embed in the app, and the app's free, ladies and gentlemen. We embed it with theta brainwave music, which enables these intentions to get through the conscious mind into the subconscious mind, so that can do its work, and then it comes back to the conscious mind, and then it comes into our physical reality. So you know, thank you for that. You said some wonderful things. Before I go back, Shirley, we work on her intention. Is there something in your life now that you'd like, you know, and ladies and gentlemen of the audience, this is for you, but I break your life into categories, right? You have the career, you know, job, career, business, whatever that is. You have financial stuff. You have relationships, family. You have health. You have contribution. So is there some area in your life where you're not living the life of your dreams and you'd like to manifest something bigger?
You know, I think that I see this as a practice, and I see that I still need to manifest in certain areas because sometimes the old tapes continue to play.
Absolutely.
That I need to, one, recognize the wonderful things that have happened and be in gratitude for it, and then still be in the conscious, vibrational, energetic mode for more things to happen. So that's what I'm looking for in all aspects of my life, and narrowing it down, you know, very specific in those areas, but leaving it open because I could have never envisioned, you know, these things that were happening in terms of my business.
And let me add one more thing for the for you guys and the audience, and a reminder myself, you know. So, you know, like I said, you know, my life was a complete mess going nowhere. I met this man in 1982. He taught me this unique way to bring into your physical reality what you truly desire. And I created the most amazing life. You know, I mean, amazing, right? And guess what I didn't do? I didn't create new intentions, more powerful intentions. So then I kind of got stuck there, right? And the universe, in its infinite wisdom, you know, brought some things into my life that made me wake up. You know, it wasn't cancer in my case, but it kind of led to working with cancer, right? And so and that, I think if, the beautiful thing about life is when we can let go and quit trying to control everything. I call it, you know, I just want to jump into the lazy river of life and let it take me where I'm supposed to go, you know, without resistance, you know, Shirley talking about resistance, and let go, let God, with creating these intentions with God, okay? But then realizing that, you know, this door might shut and this window might open, right? So we have to be a little flexible in all this. So once again, could you mention relationships, love? I mean, is there something in your life you want to manifest around that or anything else?
Specifically, I think in terms of my career, one of the things that I want to manifest is to do what I'm doing now, which is speaking more, you know, at events. I had said that a couple of years ago and didn't write a specific intention about it. And fortunately have had a couple of opportunities like this to speak and speak about spirituality. So yes, I want to speak more about spirituality and about my business, which is blackhistoryeveryday.com. So
okay. I'm going to go back to Shirley now. I'll be back to you in about 5 minutes. I want you to think a little bit more about that intention, and then maybe we can play around with it a little bit longer. Okay? All right, Shirley, how are you doing over there with that concept that you want to go and share your love and your light with people? Has anything come to you since we've last talked?
Mark, I've intentionally placed that image, projected that image in my mind for quite some time, what I would like that to look like.
And tell
what
me.
What I see there is I see us as the energies and vibrations that we are vibrating from each other daily, wherever we are, not just physically side by side, but that we are so connected with the love energy that we're here to be, that we just are almost euphoric. We're lively, we're healthy, we're excited, and it's a daily thing. It's not, it's manifested automatically. It's not a chore, to say. It's easy, it's free, it's what we do. So we're in a world where there is no anger, resistance. We love each other. We care for each other. We all things good. You know, we're just in the world.
So when you're talking, I can literally feel you, right? You the way you talk about it, your energy, your sincerity. It makes me want some of that, right? And you have this experience that you went through that lots of people have gone through, right? And you came out the other end a better person, more alive, more awake, more conscious. So, but I want to know how do you see you taking this message to a bigger audience, if that's your desire?
I do want others to know this.
You mentioned you wrote a book. Is it published?
It's coming out December the 15th. Oh. Yes, I would like for people in that book explains most of that. And I would like for others to be where I am in my state of being.
Yeah. Do you have a publisher, or did you self-publish the book?
I'm self-publishing.
Okay.
Amazon.
And so it'll be available December 15th. And what's the name of it again?
Light Revelation.
Okay. And can people pre-order it right now?
Not yet.
Okay. So make a note, folks. You know, I want to read the book just based on this woman's spirit, you know, how it touches my heart. But do you see yourself going on radio shows and promoting this book, or how do you see? Because let me tell you, I'm an author, right? You think writing the book's the hard part? That's like 5%, okay? And getting into people's hands is the hard part. So how do you envisioned that? Thought about that? Played with that? How that's going to look for you?
I've tried to play with how that might look. You know, where you said let go and let God. I'm kind of waiting for that revelation on which way that will go. And whatever course it needs to take to get there, the ultimate goal is that enough people get that. Because we can move from a dark place that you just spoke about earlier into a brighter light place, a light from us to others. The light will overcome the dark. In the end, it really will.
Now, are you willing to invest some time and some energy to get out there and promote this book and promote what you want people to get?
Yes, I have to.
So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to send you the course, okay? And I hope you take it. I'll send you. If you send me your address, I'd be happy to mail you a book. But if you want to explore this, I really think that you really have something valuable. You know, I have a – you probably don't know this, but, you know, I had a nonprofit foundation. I work with breast cancer victims, primarily women below the poverty line where they battle cancer. And, you know, we would give them financial grants. And I quit doing that because it got so frustrating, because there weren't a lot of happy endings, if you know what I mean. You know, not a lot of success stories. So now I'm trying to build in Colombia a healing retreat center where they will go and they will heal naturally and be able to get out of their environment. So that's my passion, right? So I'm going to give you that course. You know, I self-publish one book. I use a publisher. So if you like, I'd be happy to be your resource when you get closer to that, or you're almost there. I mean, you need to start doing some stuff. So I'd be happy to work with you on writing intention on how to get this book out and sell it. And then also give you some of my experience of, you know, how to go about it, you know, because I think you have a beautiful story. I haven't read the book. I hope to. But you know, I'm there as a resource for you. So I will definitely email you tonight the access to the course. And then if you get back to me, you know, call me anytime if you want to talk about the book and sales and that whole, because that's a journey as well. It's an exciting journey, but it can also be, if we don't manage our expectations properly, it can be somewhat frustrating as well. And so maybe we can avoid some of that. All right.
Yes,
because I really see you as someone that, you know, can help a lot of people, and especially with what your message is, and more importantly, what you went through. So
well, it was given to me for a reason. So
amen.
I was, you know, it was a gift to me to pass on. It's not just for me. Yep. So I'll have to make whatever steps necessary to get there.
All right, my dear. All right. So Kiki, any thoughts about what we discussed? Anything come to you since I last spoke with you?
Yes. What came to me is that I need to do an intention, a more powerful intention about what I want, and couple it with visioning as well. I need to do the same things that brought me the success that I had. And, you know, you talked about it, you know, having more powerful intentions and not just resting on my laurels. Yeah. And I would just say that, you know, this book and this course is not a one-time read and a one-time thing that you do. It's something that can be done over and over and again as your intentions grow.
Hey, I have to tell you, so I've been doing this since 1982, right? And I'm not always writing intentions, and I'm not always recording them. I'm not always listening to them, right? But after all these years, I have the greater concept. Honestly, I swear, like, I can just speak what I want into out there, and it will come to me, you know, because I've been practicing it so long, and I understand, and more importantly, I believe it. Okay, I believe in the power of it, and that's half the battle right now. You have to believe it, that it will work, and then it works, and then you see the fruits of that, and then it, to me, is just a natural way of life right now. But, you know, with that said, you know, I have all the same childhood programming that everybody else in the world has been subjected to, and all the media programming, and all the hurts as a little kid that will rear their ugly head, you know, at the wrong time. So life is a constant battle of growth, evolving, and we never arrive. I like to say, when you arrive, then you're getting ready to get out of your body and be really free. So anyways, all I can say to you guys, thank you. And Kiki, if anything I can do for you, you know, I'm always there for you. And I love your church. I love what you guys are doing. It was a pleasure to come there and speak, and you have a great thing going on there. So as a fellow Oakland person, thank you so much for being on. And Shirley, for your story and your inspiration, thank you so much. And anything I can do for either one of you, just let me know. For the rest of you out there, hey, make the hardest journey of your life. It's 18 inches from here to here. This is who we really are. Feel your way through life. That's where the power is. Use this tool. Don't let it use you. Most of us get a lousy thought, lousy feeling, lousy action. I say live here, use this, good thoughts, good intentions, bring them into your physical reality and realize the life of your dreams. Till next Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, go out there and make it an awesome week.
You've been listening to Mike Murphy on The Creation Frequency. Thanks for tuning in. And don't miss the next show on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Mike Murphy and a cast of powerful guests strip away the veil of limitation using the groundbreaking practices of The Creation Frequency. Tune in to unleash the power of your mind. Open the immense energy of the heart to manifest an awesome life filled with true health, wealth, confidence, gratitude, and joy. Unfiltered truth, unfiltered frequency, unfiltered possibilities on The Creation Frequency. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.